Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of kings. God damn, he's good. And so, I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the man who is guilty of pissing me off every day, who is guilty of getting on my damn nerves every day, and he is guilty of driving me nuts every day. His name is Sean Black.
Yes, but I'm also guilty of knowing that you need me just as much as the rest of the world needs this show. So there you go. Sean Black in the building once again.
What?
Yeah, I said it.
Oh. And on the phone line, she's guilty of having me as a mentor, which I understand. She is Lady T, everyone.
Okay, so that explains why my life is messed up. I messed up by having you as my mentor.
Ouch!
Good night, y'all.
Good evening, Lady T.
Hold on.
Everything is crystal clear. We understand everything now. Now I know why you're always drained.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hold on, guys. Do you mind me taking my mouth off the floor? Okay. Now I've got my dignity back. Thank you very much. All right. You know what? I'm not going to lie. Lady T threw me off. I don't know what to say anymore.
Wow.
Okay. Well, guys, you know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. I want to do the show tonight because let's get this thing out the way. It might be a long show, it might be a short show, who knows. But let's just get our thought process out. Lady T, you want to start first or you want me to start with Sean first?
Start with Sean first, please. Set the tone,
okay.
Sean.
All right. Sean Black. Yesterday, I texted Sean Black at 4:30. What was he heard of verdict? One of us will say, I told you so. We heard a verdict. Sean Black called me right away. He didn't tell me I told you so, but he wanted to. But before you start, Sean Black, for the record, was I shocked by the verdict yesterday? Yes. But as I say on the show before, I thought it would be guilty, but not on all accounts, or I would not be surprised it was not guilty. So actually, I am surprised that he's guilty on all accounts. I know you said many times that the proof is right there, the evidence is right there, blah, blah, blah. He has to be guilty. So, Sean, I'm about to go use the bathroom right now because I know you're going to talk for 25 minutes. Take it away.
Anyway, as I stated before, we did this show. Yeah, exactly. That's the reason why you're coughing up a lung, because that's all karma coming out of you. But that goes without saying. We, ad nauseum, like I said before, we discussed waiting until at least the jury got the verdict or was deliberating, or we got the verdict before we really started to discuss the case. So now that we know everything that's gone on here, to go on what Hot Rod just said, was I surprised that we got here? Yes, with bated breath, in the sense that it's one of those things where the evidence was so overwhelming, and we know based on so many other cases that the evidence that we usually see and hear about is so overwhelming, but that usually doesn't mean a damn thing, because we've seen so many people, police officers, get off just from that same instance. Somewhat surprising that we got to this point. We will see now exactly what's going to happen with getting a conviction and what's going to happen. Since 2005, we've only had 7 police officers convicted for murder. 7 since 2005. So I think when an African American or Hispanic or any minority that has been has had to go through something like this and have had to have a reputation besmirched, has had their own personal hell go through the court system and put on trial, and the person that has actually done the murdering on trial usually gets off, has been adjudicated again and again and again. We've gotten through all of that part. Let's get to what we all, I think, are looking at now, which is the sentencing part. What's going to happen? Derek Chauvin was convicted on all three charges. Each one of them has a sentence of the first charge, 40 years, the second, 25 maximum, and the third charge, which was second-degree manslaughter, which is 10. But in Minnesota, and the way the law works there, is that because Derek Chauvin doesn't have a prior criminal record before all of this happened, it won't be consecutive. It would be a concurrent case, which means that he would only get the maximum allowed of what he's being convicted of, which would be the 40-year charge. Yet, in Minnesota, you're only going to probably do two-thirds of that sentence, depending on what the judge does, because the judge is going to be the one handing out the penalty. So we'll see what happens from there. I think that'll go a long way to figuring out where the mindset is as far as that first step. But it's the accountability part, not the justice part, that has happened so far.
So in your opinion, Sean Beck, was this a major victory or a small step towards the right direction?
It's a move in the right direction. I think that for anything to happen, we're going to find out in August when the other three police officers who are going to be tried together, what happens with them. And we all know, I can't speak for everybody. I think I know I would like to see Chauvin thrown under the jail for what he did. But we don't know how this is going to happen. The other three police officers that were involved, they're going to serve some kind of jail time, I would think. Let's see what happens there. That would be the next logical step. But there's so many things that have happened in this country, just even on the day of the trial, that we'll probably talk about later on. It's going to be very hard to say that, well, justice was served. This is just a blip.
And so, Lady T, as Sean stated earlier on Monday Night Show, this was the trial of the era of our time. Back in OJ era, everybody grew to the TV, and when we found out the results, white people was upset, but black people was happy. This time was a little bit different. A lot of people was new to the TV, but I think a lot of us had our heart pounding. So for the most part, I believe, most people was hoping to hear the guilty verdict, but everybody's heart was pounding. Now, what's your intake overall? And plus, in addition, Tucker Carlson, Sean's favorite news guy at Fox News, said that the jury was scared by the protest, and that's why they plead guilty. So what do you think about your takeaway of the verdict overall plus that?
First, let's start with the trial of the era stuff. This is the trials that keep on, reoccurring in my mind. So I don't even look at this as it's a small step to justice. Just because he's found guilty on all charges, I don't see him getting that maximum of 40 years. Don't forget, there's also the right to appeal. He can get off on certain cases, certain charges with the appeals. He didn't look afraid or worried because lawyers are going to get ready for appeal. Sentencing to me is when justice is really served. I get drained with people celebrating. We see this all the time. You celebrate, go to sentencing, you hear it's 10 years, a family member comes up and hugs the person that killed their family member. I don't want to see that again. I'm getting drained with this. It's the same scenario over and over, and when will we wake up? We keep on doing the same thing, celebration, celebration. Sentencing will be the time to celebrate.
True, I agree, but do you think people should be, yes, that people have a right to celebrate because they never heard a guilty verdict.
That's natural feelings for anything. If I was to give you a cupcake right now, you'd probably celebrate for that. Oh. It's natural to get happy with the vodka shot on top. You'll be excited.
Well, you going to his good graces now.
Yeah. But the result of that, I will get diabetes or alcohol.
Boom, you just said it. Boom, okay. So look at it like that. What's the next side effects before sentencing? And we have 2 whole months where something occurred yesterday. I didn't even know that. I was on Brother B's show when Mika mentioned it, and I had to get off of the show. I didn't even know that happened with the 16-year-old girl getting shot. What's her name? Makai,
yeah.
I think, Bryant. I didn't even know that because,
yes.
I refused to watch the news yesterday after I heard the verdict. Okay, great. Guilty. I wasn't impressed. I turned it off. I didn't want to watch it. Didn't want to watch my social media. Just didn't want to watch. And then they told me about that. I had to get off of the show, respectfully. I just can't take it. It's too much. We celebrate for one thing, and then something else occurs again. Do we not see the same scenarios every time something like this happens? I'm not sure if it's clicking. Is it real justice? Come on, man.
I think your opinion echoes a lot of African-Americans and Hispanics and marginalized people in this country that have gone through something egregious like this on a regular basis. It's like, when does it end? You know, we take one step forward and we take 19 steps back, not two steps, not three steps.
People like Benjamin Crump and all these activists that were, you know, doing this from beginning to end, now they need to start looking forward as far as certain laws being passed and these people's names and so forth. Yes, you won the case. Yes, you're going to get your money. Now what you're going to do with it? They're never pushing the buck a little further. They need to push it faster right now. We're moving too slow. So if you think this is fast justice, this shit ain't no fast justice. Pardon my French. It pisses me off. It's slow justice. What are we going to wait another 300 years and then they'll have these laws in place updated? Come on, man. Let's stop fooling ourselves.
Very true. And we will talk about that other topic later on. But Brother B, I know you talked a little bit about it last night, but what's your takeaway again? And after the verdict, what should be the next step moving forward?
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Going forward, man, I mean, we really need to, besides just looking at the laws, we need to look at ourselves. We really need
in
to.
What way?
In what way is our reaction to things. I mean, we watch these videos time and time again, and we already see that there's a double standard. We know we've been living in this country all our lives. I mean, from civil rights movements, we've seen the history. We know the history. I mean, come on. We know that there is a clear double standard. So the thing is, how do we conduct ourselves? Why do we keep having these interactions? This is what they look for from us. So maybe it's something that we need to change within. I mean, I know it may sound like, wait a minute, how are you going to blame the victim? It's not blaming the victim. But it's like if you're playing a game and you know the other person is cheating, why keep playing the game? Why? Because you know it's only going to end the same way each time. They're cheating. This system was never created and designed for us to thrive. It was never that. So why do we keep giving them work? Why do we keep putting ourselves? Why do we keep making ourselves a target for them? Why?
Okay, but what about the jurors? Do you think the jurors give away the guilty verdict just to keep our mouths shut? Does it make us happy? Does it, you know, nothing to break out and go crazy? Does it burn down to the ground?
No, I think what the jurors saw was something personal. I don't think it was a black or white issue. I don't even think it was a police issue. He hid behind his badge to do what he needed to do. I think it was something. It was he was found guilty because this wasn't about the job or what he was doing. This was personal. It was personal. And as much as they don't want to put that out there, because they want to keep it in a certain light. They want to hide behind the procedure. They want to hide behind the rules. Oh, well, he did what he had to do. The guy was a druggie, this, that, and the third. No one really wants to get into the issue of these cats knew each other. They had history. The media doesn't want to put that out there. They don't want to put the fact that there was some personal issue going on between them, and this guy used his power, his badge, to get the win. And to me, it's disgusting. It really is.
Well, Lady T, do you think the jury took too long of 10 hours to deliberate about this case if we all knew that it was guilty from the get-go?
Yeah, I'm actually glad they took 10 hours to do that and make sure that they thoroughly analyzed everything they needed to do. Don't forget, it doesn't matter that they said guilty. They could be getting death threats still from people who's pissed off that they said guilty. So I don't think this had anything so much to do with, the jurors saying guilty because they didn't want stuff to be burnt down, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't think so. Because either way it went, they still would have been getting harassed, let's say, or things. We don't even know really what's happening over there right now as far as it even being guilty. Because they're not going to broadcast that. That would be like broadcasting the White House stuff all over again. You don't really know what's going on. The people that live there know what's going on.
Well, and
if I may add to what Lady T said, whether it's the people or the police, the police have access to certain things, so they know who all the jurors are.
Oh, yeah. That's
so whether they got threats from people or whether they got threats from police, either way, it don't matter.
And that's one of the reasons why they keep the jurors from being shown on television. When they're escorted, the camera is away from the jurors' chambers, from where they are, on where they're serving, to protect them just in case, as you just stated, something happens where somebody wants to influence the jury in some way, shape, or form by threatening them or someone in their family or something along those lines.
Well, I hope none of the jurors come out and want, their 15 minutes of fame or anything like that, because, you have those kind of people. Like, we know they will, but
eventually.
I'm just saying, I'm praying that they're a little bit smarter, but.
Listen, someone needs to make that book deal and write the book of what happened behind the scenes and get inside of the story. Or to be on Inside Edition or some one of those shows. Or GMA.
They're smart. I hope they're smart enough to just mind your business. It's over.
Well, somebody from the jury there's always at least one juror that does jury duty for these big cases that always wants to let everybody know their side, that has no skin in the game, so to speak, as far as trying to get money. They just want to let people know. Other jurors on that same thing, they may be looking for other things like a book deal or a movie or whatever the case. I would like to hope that there is a lot more discretion in the times that we're in, because we know how volatile it is. Is remember, only half the jury was white. We had, I believe, three black people. We had, I think,
four blacks. And two multiculturals.
Yes, and I believe two women. Yes. So it was a much more diverse jury than we're used to seeing, especially in a city that is 45% white. So that's very hard to come by in jury selection, to cull from that amount of people and get that diverse of a jury for a case of this dynamic.
Okay, and on Haunted Kiddo right now, you always tell people to go out and vote. Now, moving forward, what people should be doing so this situation it won't happen again, unfortunately, to happen less. How are we going to make these things go into law, K-Dog?
Well, what we got to do is that we just got to continue to fight. We got to bring the fight. We got to continue bringing the noise, because let me just say this about yesterday's verdict. Yes, yesterday's verdict, yes, a police officer was convicted of murder, but also, we can't forget about the other cases of black people being killed by police officers. Let's not forget about Breonna Taylor. Let's not forget about Ahmaud Arbery, Tony McDade, people like Deion Johnson, people like I could say Sandra Bland, so many others.
Mm.
You know, there are so many others out there. And this is what,
okay.
And this right here, no, I'm answering your question. We just got to keep the fight going because, you know, yeah, one police officer, yeah, okay, yeah, Derek Chauvin, he's going to jail, which is well-deserved. He deserves to get the book thrown at him for the crime that he did to George Floyd. But also we have to keep the fight going. We can't just, you know, celebrate and, you know, it's business as usual. No, it's not business as usual.
We've been keeping the fight going since before Martin Luther King. It's more
mm-hmm.
than keeping the fight
mm-hmm.
going, so.
True. It is
exactly
more.
Like, so, like, exactly.
We have to push for a law to be passed. We have to push for a law to be passed.
What about the mental, like, white? What about the white? What's the guy that got, the teenager boy that got killed? Oh, no, the one that got killed by the taser? I mean, the one.
Dante Wright.
Okay, what about that? How do you think they're going to handle that type of case? Do that set an example for that? Or that would be like, you know what? It's back to normal. The cop.
He resisted.
The cop.
He resisted.
They claim he was, yeah, they're all saying he resisted. And the police officer will say, oh, I thought I was pulling out my taser, I didn't realize I pulled out my gun.
Oh my
They'll
gosh,
come up
I
with every excuse.
I forgot to take my meds that morning.
Yeah,
and
I forgot to
say.
Exactly. They'll come up with every windy excuse. It's all an excuse in the book because it's like, oh, the person resisted. Okay, but was he armed? Did he pull
it
out
doesn't
a weapon?
Matter.
It doesn't
matter.
It
doesn't matter.
Look at
what
I look at.
You're right.
Hold on.
You see this George Floyd case is going to have these officers now with these upcoming cases thinking of a quick plan of action to say
mm-hmm.
what really happened. They're going
exactly.
to be concocting
yeah.
their stories now even better.
Yeah.
Just
well,
because
lady,
of this, because
okay.
they don't want to be that
lady,
next example.
Here's the
mm-hmm.
thing with George Floyd's case.
I believe after they discharge their weapon, I believe they have about 36 to 72 hours before
mm-hmm.
they even allowed to make any type of statements whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So with that
More
being
than
said,
time to think. Mm-hmm.
yeah, so
mm-hmm.
they have time to think. They have time to sit down with the police union, have time to
mm-hmm.
sit down with their captains, their lawyers, and, you know, go over everything before they put it out into a statement and then to the media.
Interesting.
So
a whole 3 days.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, they have time.
All right, K-Dog.
What happened with the George Floyd case is that so many people came out and testified. The witnesses, the people that were standing right there with their camera phones. This is where camera phones are coming in handy, you know. They came out there and they had the whole thing caught on camera. And, of course, officers testified. Doctors testified. There was a lot of things that came out. And if you notice in body language, you notice Derek Chauvin didn't even flinch. He didn't even flinch when they were testifying.
Well, he didn't
like
flinch because
said,
he pretty much
like
knew
AP.
He was toast. Literally.
No,
with all
like
of,
said,
I think that's one of the reasons why he didn't testify on
exactly.
his own behalf. Because he
no,
knew
he,
that if
he
was to go
field.
Out there, he would literally be his own worst enemy based on all of the other evidence that was there. And I think his
Absolutely.
Lawyer literally told him it's more of a risk-reward situation and it's much more of a risk than there is reward.
Okay, so
Absolutely.
You know what's a good thing that he did, unfortunately? He didn't take the stand because it makes it
yeah.
easier for the appeal court now to just go over that evidence and show their errors, versus what he said errors. Those are two different things. So he can get certain things overturned on appeals. So people really have to also focus in on the appeal court side of
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
When the sentences is done, and that's why people get off on appeals, because people don't realize you don't take the stand, you have a better chance of certain things being overturned.
And that's what really leads to, that's what I was about to say earlier. He probably didn't flinch because he knew he had a backup
mm-hmm.
plan,
mm-hmm.
he's going to appeal. That's
yeah,
why he got me guilty.
Yeah,
problem.
That's what he's
going to
try and do.
I got you.
And I understand exactly, because you know what? That's what they always try to do. They always try to, you know, find a way to get off. They're always
going to have
that.
What do you mean they always try? You have the right to appeal in America.
No, you do.
The thing you have to ask yourself when looking at that video, and thank God there was a video.
Hmm.
He was laying down.
And
he was on the ground. already cuffed, subdued. There was no threat.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you continue to kneel on his neck?
Because he wanted to kill
him. Why?
Because
like,
he
that's,
wanted
not,
to kill him.
That's not procedure. He wasn't resisting. He was no longer resisting. He was in cuffs, hands behind his back, on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What was your reason for keeping that amount of pressure and staying on him like that? What was the reason?
So your point about the
There's
being
no logic
before
to
we can move on. Imagine all that happening, there was no camera. We would be talking about it. Would it be a trial today?
Nope.
There wouldn't be
he wouldn't even be
trying, because they would easily say that George Floyd resisted arrest and that he suffered a medical condition. That was the original script of the whole thing. They said that he suffered a medical condition, but what they didn't realize was that it was all caught on video.
Mm-hmm. Well, no,
there wouldn't even be a trial.
K-Dog, I'm sorry. They all knew there was on video. The camera phone was right there in front of their faces.
Yeah.
They just didn't care.
But if there wasn't, if there wasn't a video, they wouldn't, and you know, even if the cops didn't, and look at it this way, had they not had their cop cameras, had nobody, you know, took out their cell phones and filmed it, we wouldn't be having this conversation. As a matter of fact, they would have said that he had a medical condition, he went into cardiac arrest, and he died. They would have easily, and despite the fact that witnesses would have came, they still would have disputed.
Okay, Sean, last word before we move on.
And out of all of this, you'd have to thank Darnella Frazier, who was the 17-year-old
mm-hmm.
who had the wherewithal to not only record
yep.
the incident,
mm-hmm.
but she recorded many, many, many minutes after the arrest,
after
everything that encompassed the entire arrest, the entire incident, everything
yeah.
going in, for having that video is the single reason which supported all of the other evidence that got the case to where it is. But as the overarching discussion that we're having is, the next phase will now be in 8 weeks when they go ahead and do the sentencing. Where we go from here, that's where we're going from there.
Okay, now on to the next one. This might be a little bit touchy, but I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know the whole story, so the questions I ask will be like devil advocate in a way. So basically, bottom line, was the shooting of this next story, was the shooting justified? That's the bottom line we're looking at. As always, you know, the media say cop kill a black kid. It was a teenager, a young girl. Very sad situation. But, Sean, real quickly, what was it? Once we heard the verdict, everybody was celebrating. Like, a few minutes later, we heard this story about the teenager in Ohio. What happened? And once again, Sean, do you think the shooter was justified? That's the main question.
Okay. Now, as you just said, we don't know all of the information, but the information that they have somewhat revealed, it seemed to have been a fight between a 16-year-old and another female, and a knife was involved. Basically, we don't know what they were arguing over, what they were fighting over. The police officer came in at the time from what they showed in the video. She turned around, looked like she was going to lunge toward someone, and the cop decided to open up, and I think he shot her four times. Now,
yeah, four times.
In
the chest.
If we're knowing, we
yeah,
all know that being a police officer is not an easy job, especially when you're coming to break up something that as deadly as this. Now, we also know going in that if this is being done and we see that there's an opportunity to de-escalate something and stop it, we have to find out why police officers in their heart of hearts go from 60 miles an hour in the middle of the fray, and they have to use deadly force, and it seems like almost all the time. Now, we don't, like I said before, we've seen a lot of these cases where something just pops up, and we only see the video without the context.
So you always hear me say, let's get all the information first. But based on what I've heard and listened to so far, it was, I guess, the gun was somewhat justified to break this up. The four shots did not seem like it was justified, just based on what I've seen so far. We're going to need to know a lot more about this.
You saw, as a cop, from the cop point of view, from the body cam, you saw the lady, the teenager who got killed, had a knife on her hand, correct? And
yes,
seemed like she was
exactly
about to stab the other people she got altercation with. And as a cop, that's what you probably saw. So in other words, I agree the four shots is questionable, but did this cop save the other two victims? Well, I don't know if victims is the right word for me to use. The other two ladies in the altercation by taking the life of this teenager.
It seems like that's what the case is, where he seemingly saved somebody. But as I've said before, we see this all the time where a lot of police officers, they decide to end this conflict, someone has to die, irregardless of whether it is a minor situation or it's justified. That's all you seem to see when we come to these kinds of things. But also, a lot of it tends to happen in minority struggles, much more so than any other struggles that we see on television. And that's part of the problem inherent to this particular case so far, that we don't know anything other than what we just found out.
Lady C, do you want to address this?
Yeah, concerned about the, I think it was three or four shots to her chest. Why did he aim for the chest? Why wasn't like a one-inch shot off? Why didn't he, on top of all of that, like go to protect the other two girls and just let her freaking run with the knife, if that's the case, and defend the other two girls, get them out the way, and then point his gun at her, like drop it, or whichever one came first. Why did he need to shoot her three or four times in the chest, aiming for the chest at that?
In the video, Lady T, you heard the cop singing, drop it, drop it, drop it, as he's running towards the altercation, and he definitely took out his gun and shoot. As he said,
aim for her chest directly, right, just to shoot to kill her.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
How many times have you always said that some of these cops today, they shoot first, ask questions later, and they shoot to kill?
Okay, I know some cops from where we're from. They would have handled that totally different. So I'm not sure if that's how you do it out there in Ohio, but I think they need some training in that. They need some training with teenagers fighting and stuff like that, and how to break that up. Because we've seen that growing up all our lives with razor blades and stuff like that. And yeah, especially there. And those were your regular school cops that could have, you know, took care of that situation real quick. So another thing I'm wondering, are these cops scared to do their job, that they need to just kill?
I'm sorry. And what would be, from what the girls, we don't know the whole story, but the story I heard was the girls went to this teenager, ready to start a fight. And when she called the cops, and one thing, I don't know how true this is, that she went back to the house to grab a knife and came back outside. Now,
legally, I'm telling you right now, you didn't even have to go any further. Legally, it was justified.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now. Legally, the cop was justified in shooting her. She had a weapon. It was an imminent threat. That weapon that she had could have, you know, killed the girl. And by law, he did what he needed to do to stop the threat, save somebody's life. So legally it's justified. However, four rounds. To answer your question, something you said, Lady T, warning shots are not allowed. Warning shots are not allowed. That's one. Other thing, when it comes down to shooting, the first thing is that they teach you to shoot center mass, because that's the biggest part of the area. Like, you can't be, you're not responsible. If you take a shot to the knee, you're responsible for that round, and it's a small part of the body. So if it doesn't hit the person in the knee and it hits someone else, that's your ass. So center mass, which is the biggest part, now, of course, Bill, it's arguable that yeah, you could die. You could not die from being shot cinemass. I mean, but yeah, depending on the situation. I mean, a headshot is definitely a kill shot, first and foremost. But yeah, the cinemass shot, it's what's taught. You know, that's just what it is. And like I said, the four rounds were way excessive. If you wanted to drop two and then assess the situation, fine. But one thing I don't understand is how is it that there were other cops on the scene and this wasn't brought under control?
Right.
I mean, I would have never took the shot. And for anybody that can say, what, yeah, I throw on a vest and a gun on my hip when I go to work, two jobs. So I would have never took the shot. I would have probably tackled her ass and threw her into the next dimension. But I would, you know that's
I'm sorry, brother. Compared to Lacey's point and your point, I could see your point, but I'm looking at it as a cop point of view. Maybe it was like a skinny little white man who couldn't handle it.
He was scared.
So the only way you could do it,
he was scared.
The only way you could handle it was a gun. You know.
See, my thing. Right,
compared
is my
to
thing.
You.
This is my thing, and real quick, when I throw this gun on my hip, it's two things that go to my mind. Either if this is going to be the day I lose my freedom, or it's going to be the day I'm not going to be on Earth anymore. And anything can happen. I've been in some situations, anything can happen. So you just have to be mentally prepared for that. But at the same time, you always have to be mentally prepared to make that your last resort. And me grabbing my firearm is the last resort. If I can pick up a rock, crack you in your head, or do something, and tactically to get some type of advantage and not have to use my firearm, because I don't want that on me to have to take somebody's life. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't carry a 9mm. I carry cops, big-handed issues, a 9mm. I don't carry that. I carry something more powerful than that. I don't want to have to use my firearm if I don't have to.
All right, K-Dog.
From what I've seen the video like more than twice today, and I had to analyze it when the cop showed up. Now, as for the shots that were fired at the girl, I have a few questions, because here's my thing about it, is that she didn't lunge at the police officer with the knife. She didn't lunge at it. And why would you shoot at the girl that didn't even lunge at you with the knife?
Because somebody's life was in danger. That's why he did it.
Exactly.
But legally, he was justified to do so because he had to save a life. She had a weapon, and she was using it in a manner to cause harm or possible death.
And to the cop's defense, he did not know if that was her who called 911. He don't know what's going on. He doesn't know there's an altercation going on. And they're there to de-escalate the situation. Well, he saw some people in danger, right?
But my question to any of you, was he the first cop on the scene? Because it didn't look like it. Could be wrong.
Right.
But was he the first cop on the scene?
He was. Well, from what I saw in the video, he was the first cop on the scene because from his camera, from his body cam, it seems like he was there. And there was another cop that shows up after he shot her. There were two other cops that showed up.
I'm still going to need to see more footage because I've seen the footage, and the footage doesn't even show, like, if it's two cops on the scene or not. So that's going to
be because it seemed like he was the first one on the scene.
It's out of view.
Yeah, he was the first.
Because he had the body cam on. They're looking at it from his body cam, of course. It would look like that.
But once again, the media portray it as white cop killing a black teenager on the day of supposed to be the happiest day of 420, besides weed, the verdict of not guilty. It is funny how, like, once again, we went from celebration to, like, WTF again, without knowing the situation, without knowing what really happened, you know, till we start talking about it right now. So can you blame the media to kind of, like, hype people? Because maybe you keep looking on social media today because people have been going off about this topic.
I didn't want to be on it for either topic. Journalism hasn't been the same since 1999. I'm sorry.
True, it hasn't.
True journalism, I'm telling you the truth. That's why I dropped out of my journalism class in college and switched over to marketing. Like, it just wasn't working for me. I couldn't do the gossip stuff when Carson Daly started popping off with his blog stuff and all of this. It was like, after that, I seen it just being gossip news. 1999, and before that was the best time for news.
Well, unfortunately, social media has become the journalism. We have, we don't have Walter Cronkite. We don't have Tom Brokaw.
We don't have those
Connie Chung or any
Dan
of those
Rathers,
journalists that would do those kinds of things that we're normally used to seeing typical journalism, because now social media has become almost the end all be all. Where
oh my goodness, has it?
And I forgot that there was a stat that I remember reading not that long ago that said that something like 55% or 60% of people in the country get their news from either Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram.
Yeah,
so
that's what people go to now.
Picking up a newspaper, which is almost extinct, or going to get their media, get medium from just looking at the news on TV, because everybody has a cell phone where they can get it from an app, or they can go elsewhere to get their news. You don't seem to get a lot of that other news because we have now, like, the Citizens app. There are a lot of people that have that app, and you hear about a fire that happened five blocks from you. Or you hear about the robbery that just happened at the store that you just left. And then all of a sudden you see it in the Citizens app. So people are now becoming the story, as opposed to letting the story develop without a lot more information. So these are the kinds of things that we're starting to see. So we have to get information before we can get to
it. And they would also say Absolute Truth Show is part of this crap, too. Sorry we're in the mix, but oh, well.
That's the problem, because Sean Black and UT, people jump to conclusions so much and without knowing the whole story. How the cops did it, or how you people could defend the cop. There's like so many people is quickly to judgment and say what they need to say, and if you disagree or agree, you're wrong. Or, you know, I unfriend you overall. That you're not entitled to your opinion. And it's like, wow, it's mind boggling. But all right. There's another cop I'd like to talk about. I believe I'm the first person on this panel. Last week, I received the first vaccine, my first dose, and I'm growing the third arm right now. Thank you very much. But, Lady T, are you surprised, and I know we did talk about it, that Johnson & Johnson is put on pause because of so-called side effects like blood clots?
No, and we're going to get side effects from all the other ones, too, the updates on that, but I'm not surprised. Okay, so blood clots is now one of them. Okay. This is going to happen. People don't realize, like, even it doesn't matter which one you take, there has to be a side effect. We need more case studies to figure out the side effects. So that's good. We know blood clots can be one, not just for Johnson & Johnson. I would be concerned for all the other ones. Mm-hmm. And don't nobody ask me if I took the shot, because I'm going to ask, when was your last HIV/AIDS test? So I already told people, do not come with that. Do not ask me that. That's private information, and they're making it so public because everybody's like, did you get it? And if you didn't get it, people look at you a certain way. We're not doing that. I remember when all the other shots came out and we had to take it. Nobody didn't care who took the shot or not. So they have to stop that, too.
It was almost a scarlet letter when people found out that they had COVID. Like, do you remember when people were saying, I had COVID-19, I just got through COVID, and people looked at them like they had a third nose growing out of their forehead?
Yeah,
they did. Same thing with the shots. People are judging people if you didn't take it. I see it already, and I already got my mouth ready for somebody to ask me, so don't nobody ask me.
Wow. You know what?
That's so private.
I have to say, Lacey is completely right about this. COVID, take a vaccine shot is a conversation. Like, if people look at you weird, like, how dare you not get the microchip into your system right now? What are you thinking? You know? And when I told my doctor that I got the shot, you know, he was crazy good. So So one minute you could go get it. I told him my boss did it, and he cursed me. I'm like, wait a minute. You listen to your boss, but not the doctor about the vaccine. Now listen, you take care of me, but my boss pays me. There's a difference, okay? So that's why I took the shot. Other than that, Brother B, are you surprised about the vaccine? I'm not going to ask you, are you going to get it? Well, once again, when it becomes mandatory.
You don't want to get chewed up now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting chastised about it now. I get chastised about it, you know. My sister, who's in the medical field, where I'm currently working, you know, I get chastised. You know, people keep coming, oh, you should take the vaccine. Like, why? Like, what? Like, it's not your body, it's mine. So if something happens to me, then something happens. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. Because the whole thing is this. You can cave into that pressure, but God forbid you're that one person that has that bad reaction and something happens to you. Then who's it on? Is it on? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. My thing is, you're telling me to take a vaccine for something that I can stay home for, like, what, 7 days, 14 days and beat?
14 days.
If that's the case, you know, that's the whole thing. Everybody's wearing masks. I wear a mask. You know, you take these precautions. So it's your right. And I don't think you should be, like, ostracized just because you don't want to take some non-approved FDA drug or so-called vaccine that's supposed to, I guess, protect you but not fully guarantee that you will not get it? Hell no. I'd rather just throw some rum and some tea and not get sick and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? And fight it off like that. You know, like, I don't understand why people want to rush to, like, throw a needle in your arm or do this and do that. You don't know.
People want things
because they're giving away. Because you know what it is? It's giving away the pressure. This is the thing. So many. Oh, you gotta take it. You gotta take it. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you?
What's
wrong
with things to go back to normal? People want to go back outside.
They rush into. They want to go to. They want to go to the. I get it. You want to go to the clubs. You want to go to. Well, so you want to get drunk, you want
to... It's never going to be normal. It's never going to be normal because even if you take the vaccine, you still got to wear a mask. So what's the difference?
They're not going to let everything... not everything's going to open up 100%. Not everywhere's going to open up 100%. Let's face it. Let's face the reality of it.
Okay.
Once again, government is concerned about capital versus health. But go ahead, Sean Black.
Exactly.
Yes, go ahead, Sean Black.
I think that everybody's been on, I guess, on the same page in the mindset of why people feel the way that they do about the vaccine. And it's not even about things that have happened in the past. It's just what's going on now and the mindset of what the temperature is in the country as far as how this pandemic has been treated by the past administration going into how it is now. And it seems that we're starting to make some kind of positive momentum towards somewhat controlling this stuff. And you're going to have those pockets and places in certain parts of the country where there are those that don't want to take the vaccine, even if there's some evidence to prove that it does work. We all know that the vaccine isn't going to 100% cure you. The vaccine is going to lessen the spread, and if you do get COVID, will lessen the symptoms of getting serious COVID, which we've seen a lot of. I have a friend of mine that lives in North Carolina who is still getting through long COVID, who has not gotten their sense of smell back because of COVID. And this person refuses to get the vaccine themselves. So there are people that are going to be on the fence about whether they're going to take the vaccine or not. And I think that if you're in the mindset of we're going to, quote, unquote, get back to normal, the vaccine has to factor into your decision as to trying to get this mitigated. But at the same time, if you don't feel that the vaccine is something that you're going to take,
then you have to take those other precautions to make sure that you don't get sick. Personally, I've already told everybody here, I'm going to eventually get the vaccine, so that's not even an issue for me. But everybody else is different.
Okay. I think it should just be private. People should just stop asking people whether or not they're going to get the vaccine. And Sean Black, you just sounded like a commercial for the vaccine. I love it.
Exactly. All right, but I have another commercial for you guys. Phil Fisher, you got 2 minutes. Take it away.
All right, thank you. You know, as far as getting the vaccine, especially with that Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I'm very wary of that. Very wary of it, especially with the reports, with the reports of what has happened. And I put this on my Facebook timeline today, courtesy of one of the local news stations down here in Virginia, that there was a report about some of the factories that were being inspected where the vaccine was being made, that they found the conditions to be very dirty. The workers, I don't even know if they have no idea what they were doing. I mean, there was a lot of stuff coming out about this.
Some of the vaccines that were being made for Johnson & Johnson were actually cross-mixing with some of the vaccine for AstraZeneca, and that was the one that was causing the blood clot. So they think that's where that was coming from.
And you know, my pharmacy where I work was giving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and once this whole thing happened, even we had to stop giving it. And one of my coworkers, I asked her, you know, the day we started giving it, my coworker took it, and I asked her a couple of days later how did it go with the vaccine. She's like, well, I thought I was going to die the next day. The pharmacist was lucky she came in to work. She also said she didn't start feeling better till at least Monday evening, and that with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
As we say on the show weeks ago, they couldn't get baby powder right. How the hell did they could get the vaccine right?
I'll give you a laugh. Johnson & Johnson can't run a football team in New York right. What makes you think they can get a vaccine right?
Ouch.
I'll keep it at that.
Personally, I am very wary about the vaccines, and I am going to be talking to my – I mean, I have my six-month physical this next week, and I will be addressing this with my my primary care physician, because even my brother is very wary of taking the vaccine with all we've been through.
Okay. And, Lady T, I have to bring this up again, because you threw me off Monday night with J-Lo and A-Rod.
We're still talking about this? Are you dating her now?
I want her. I want J-Lo. No lie. But let me see.
You must
want
to get dumped in a year or so. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, well, that would be worth it because J-Lo. But
why?
You
want to feel that feeling. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to have that feeling. So I can sing a song about her and end up like Taylor Swift and make millions of dollars. That's why.
They're going to have you crying.
The Hot Rod is going to sing.
Oh, boy.
Hot
oh, my
Rod.
Goodness.
The low-budget A-Rod Hot Rod.
Oh,
that's
God.
I love it.
She's going to love you for a little while. Go ahead.
Do you think she has a problem overall trying to keep a man?
You know something? I don't know. I'm not her. I can't call it. I know females that are very similar to her, and a lot of it comes from fear of commitment, no different than what guys do. So it's very funny to me that it's always highlighted when a female plays the game that the guys play anyway, but it's very highlighted when they do that. The same thing could have been said for, like, Mariah Carey and so forth. But you have to understand, I see, okay, her status and stuff like that, if they like to say this, which really means nothing because character, to me, is more status than anything. But, okay, we can play those games. He's on the same level as her, technically.
Yeah.
So to say that was status, it has something to do with character. It's in her character. Maybe she just does not want to settle down. She probably gets cold feet when it comes to her seeing, like, long-term relationships. There's people that deal with this stuff in real life, and people just have to understand.
She's just a celebrity.
Hmm?
If she's afraid of commitment, if she's afraid of quote-unquote commitment, why get married 4, 5, 10 times already or get engaged? and collect the
engagement rent. Let me tell you something. Engagement and marriage is two different things. And she's not going full with it as far as with the Lords and stuff like that, as far as getting married and everything like that. Sure, it's still a commitment, but it's a commitment with other, you know, underlying laws or however you want to call it. But she just doesn't probably see herself until she grows old with one person. There's guys that do the same thing.
Okay. And Sean Black, you always like to talk about Halle Berry? I'm sorry, go
ahead.
Yeah,
but Halle Berry, what they did, and I'm telling you right now, Halle Berry has a steady relationship now. So maybe she took time out to work on herself, and she got the prize now. Mm. So it's like, to me, when I look at that, as far as with J-Lo, it's probably something within her. Maybe she needs to focus on working on or take a break from guy to guy to guy, maybe. I don't know if even breaks work for some people like that. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a nice thrill. It's like the honeymoon phase in any relationship. You could be with somebody from 1 to 3 years, and the honeymoon phase fades out, and now you're seeing them for who they really are, and now you take it a step back. Do I want to grow old with this person? People don't realize.
Get out.
No, it's get out.
Maybe she
people
just
don't
wants a new penis. Maybe she just wants a new penis.
Then listen, you should have had a side dude for that, because now that I'm smarter, if I have those kind of problems, I'm going to call one of you guys, okay? Not you, high five.
We should be honored.
Oh, man, did I just say that out loud?
Yep. Sean, real quickly, what do you want to say about Halle Berry?
Well, as I had said before with Halle Berry, that she's been in so many different relationships that did not work out. So for a lot of people, and especially in today's society, when we look at female celebrities, when they go through this kind of thing, as Lady T just stated, because she's a female and because she's a celebrity, it's highlighted much more than a lot of the males that go through this whole serial dating or the relationship that only went to this part. Some people, they just don't cross the finish line when it comes to that whole relationship thing. Maybe they like the thrill of the relationship up to a point, and then maybe there's a block for them where they get to a certain point and they just can't go any further. And then, you know, it happens with a lot of people. So female, male, doesn't make a difference.
Okay, and Brother Beef. Brother B, after the show, call me, all right? Call me. But Brother B, last word.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm just listening, man. People stress marriage so much. I mean, I get it, but work on your relationship first. Because if you ain't got a good relationship, then what marriage do you really have? Like, that paperwork doesn't really mean crap if you're not putting everything else behind it. Like, some people stress the paperwork and the idea of being married before the actual relationship, you know, and what it takes, you know what I'm saying, to maintain all of that. Like I said, it's documentation. That's all it is. I mean, if there was no such thing as being married, then people would just be in these long-term relationships committed to each other and whatever else. There's people that do it, and they don't have to go to a judge and get approval. They don't have to get a license. It's a damn shame you have to get a license to get married. You got to get a license to continue your relationship legally. So, I mean, it's one thing that's more important than the other. Just be solid in your relationship and then go from there.
All right, you hear that, J-Lo? J-Lo, be solid, okay? So call me too, J-Lo.
And plus, love yourself. And before you can ask anyone to love yourself first. Handle yourself first before anything.
True, but some people don't love themselves. Some people need that attention.
And that's what causes a problem. And that's what causes a problem. You got to love yourself first.
And you can have all the self-love in the world and still be like J-Lo and don't want to cross that.
Yeah, and afraid of commitment.
Line, so.
You know, have and like they say, phobia of commitment.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much on a show like tonight. I know it wasn't easy. Thank you all. Lady T, Sean, Phil, K-Dog, and Brother B, stay safe, stay healthy, and don't forget to think about me every night, all right?
Oh, man.
Negative nightmares. Oh, my God.
It's all yours, man. Oh, damn.
Peace out.
What?
Peace out. Be safe,
I'm the hot rod, baby. Take care.